until about 5 weeks afterward, they found the perfect bicycle. And they were so picky. You know, they'd look at one, and finally, Brian and I being guys, we would say, well, that's good. And then Ruthie would say, no, it's got the wrong kind of handlebars. It's the wrong color. She just knew him so well. So after 5 weeks of looking for a bicycle, sacrificing that day, never did I ever see a picture of pure love for child. We snuck that bicycle in, and we snuck it up in the top of the barn, and then everybody's going, wow, he's going to be so excited. 2 days before his birthday, Jacob had one of those brat days that even good kids can have, where you wonder if they're demon-possessed. You look at them and you think, who are you? What have you done with my child? Because they're just not like themselves. And I was shocked. I had never seen him behave this way. He was sassy, and of course, in my life, if I was 2 days before my birthday, man, I would just be kissy-faced, nice and sweet and polishing the, you know what I mean. He was a brat. And he got sent up to his room without supper because of what a brat he was, and he stomped up the stairs. And Brian had to go up, have a conversation with him. He didn't get to go fishing with his buddies the next day. He was being punished. The night after the demon-possessed day, that night I'm laying in bed, and God spoke to me very clearly. He said, Bob, I just showed you something, and I don't want you to ever forget it. I said, what did you want me to see, Lord? What was it? He said, where's Jacob's bicycle? And I said, it's in the barn. It's right up there. And he said, does Jacob know that he has a bicycle up in the barn? And I said, no. And he said, does Jacob deserve a bicycle today? And I said, absolutely not. He said, I'm telling you something. On his birthday, Jacob's going to get his bicycle. Everybody's going to be happy. And he said, don't ever forget this. Now, for me, I had been thinking that all of the promises of God that hadn't happened yet were not going to happen because I didn't deserve them. That's always the devil's last recourse. It works very well with me. The devil doesn't even have to lie to me. All he has to do is show me videos, replays. You know, on December 25th at such and such a time, we have this evidence in there, and I'm caught red-handed. The Lord said, I just showed you a picture of grace. Jacob is being punished today because he was bad. But the bicycle is grace. It was bought from sheer love by parents that love him. He's still going to get his bicycle. When he gets his bicycle, he's going to know he didn't deserve it. And that's part of the point. Every time I read this phrase, set your hope fully on grace, I think of Jacob's bicycle. It's a very effective lesson. Stop trying to deserve it. If God's promises haven't come true yet, and you ever start thinking, well, it's not going to happen because I'm a loser, we're all losers. All of God's blessings are grace. Every time God fulfills a promise, it's grace. Nobody earns it. Isn't that a great story? So set your hope fully on grace. I do find it interesting that Peter's hope, until he fell and didn't need grace in his own mind, Peter's hope wasn't on grace at all. Peter was waiting to get his reward, baby. He was ready to get what he deserved. It's funny that the rest of Peter's life, you don't see him asking for what he deserves anymore. Sort of like David after Bathsheba. He wrote all his very best psalms about grace and mercy after that. You don't see him talking about his integrity and, oh, God, reward me according to my integrity. You don't see him saying that after he fell. So I find it interesting that Peter says, look, you just want to think of what you're going to get When you walk up and look Jesus in the eyes and he says, well done, good and faithful servant, come on in. Got a place prepared for you. He said, just want to always look at that as something you don't deserve. You're going to get it. You will. It's waiting there for you. But you always want to keep in your mind that it's grace. Boy, that is such protection, isn't it? Verse 14, as obedient children versus demon-possessed, rebellious, willful ones, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you didn't know better. Interesting phrase. Whenever time I see this phrase, don't conform or stop conforming, the word conform is, it's the verb is passive. It's something that you allow to happen to you. To let yourself be shaped is one, the way that one commentary says it. Doesn't that remind you of Romans 12, 1 and 2? Which, where Paul says, I beg you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, that you present your bodies like living sacrifices to the Lord, holy, set apart for him. That's just the reasonable act of worship. And then he says, do not be conformed, same word, to the world system, but be transformed by the constant renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Very, very important verses there in Romans 12, 1 and 2. In that statement and in this statement of Peter, the writer is saying, pressure is being exerted on you. And there was a time in your life where you didn't have a filter. You just gave in to those desires. You just went with the flow. The world system is still there. Your flesh is still there. He's just saying, don't get sucked into it. Don't let yourself be shaped by that. I'll read J.B. Phillips again. He says, don't allow your character to be molded by the desires of your ignorant days. Because I'll tell you, it is so easy to do. I can't tell you how many people that were part of this church that I have watched the reverse of this process. I watch them slip away. They're not feeding themselves spiritually anymore. They don't have time for the Lord. Other things are more interesting. Now they're right back out where they were before they came to Jesus. They're addicts. They're in horrible situations. Their lives are miserable. Breaks my heart. Peter says, look, I've been there. I've done that. Be sober. Be clear-minded. Be an obedient child. And we'll close with verses 15 to 16. Do I have enough time? I had you underline the verbs in verses 15 and 16. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. The King James Bible says in all manner of conversation, and that's just archaic English. The Greek word that in 1611 was translated in the King James Bible as conversation doesn't mean talking. It speaks of conduct. The whole way that you live your life. English has just changed. So all of the newer translations say something like Philip says every department of your lives. The NIV says be holy in all that you do. And then in verse 16, it's a quotation from the Old Testament. Be holy because I am holy. You're mine, God says. So I want to look at these two verbs. Now, we understand the word holy, I hope. I'll just, so that we get it on tape. The word holy, the verb of it means to set apart something or someone exclusively for God. Some people have the idea that holy means sinless. It doesn't exactly mean that, except as it applies to God. It simply means set apart. The word saint in English, which is, you know, the Greek word is a derivative of this word. It simply means set apart ones, ones that belong exclusively to God. So be set apart exclusively for God is what it's saying. But here's the deal. The verb is really important. The verb be in verse 15 and in verse 16 is the Greek verb ginomai. G-I-N-O-M-A-I, ginomai. It means to become or to be made into. So what it's saying is be being made into God's person. Be becoming God's person. Ginomai is a word of process. And I think that's important. It's also important that when it says, as the one who called you is holy, and then I am holy, quoting God himself, that's not the word ginomai. That's the word eimi, which speaks of existence. God's saying, I want you to be being made into something that I already am. Who does it? Who does the work? We sang a bunch of songs about it. We don't make ourselves holy. In fact, when it says, be, ginomai, holy in all you do, I'm helpless to do that. It simply means I need to be made into that. God's part is to do the making. My part is to yield. My part is to will to be holy. I tell you, it's such great news that if God had left it up to me, it had never happened. But one of the reasons the Holy Spirit was given to us, living in us, is to work in our lives every day to produce that person that is more and more fully God's. Have you noticed that happening in your life? Have you noticed stuff that you're very uncomfortable with in your behavior now that even 5 years ago didn't bug you that much? My grandma says it this way. She said, the closer that you get to the light, the more you actually see what you really look like. So if you're actually getting closer to Jesus, you may not be looking more and more wonderful. You may be seeing stuff that you actually didn't see before. It was there. She said, the comforting thing is God's the one showing it to you. This is how he makes us holy. He shows us what he's like, shows us what we're like, and he says, so what do you want to do about that, buddy? And I say, hose me down, man. Let's get that out of there. I do not want to be like that. When we were praying before the service, Tony prayed about those nooks and crannies, those hidden places that we don't even know they're there until he shows us. And we pray. I tell you, I have wept. I have wept and almost felt comfortless at times in my life and said, Lord, please make me a good man. And he said, son, that's what I'm here for. That's why I live in you. I am and I will. And you keep thinking that way and it'll happen. I just love that it's Peter that's saying this. If it was somebody like Daniel that said it, Daniel, who we have no record of him really ever doing anything wrong. Daniel with a big red D on his chest and tights and a cape, you know, can leap tall Babylonians at a single bound. If he was saying, be holy, I would have thought, yeah, well, it's easy for you to say. But I just love that it's coming out of Peter. And I love the verbs, and I wish that it was better in English. It makes me sad. Because it sounds like I am somehow supposed to make myself something that I'm unable to make myself. God's the only one that can make me holy. He's committed to it. He's given me everything that I need. His very power resident in me for that to happen. He just wants me to not fight him. He wants me to want what he wants. And he won't do it without my permission. So I think verse 13 snuggles up nicely next to verse 15 and 16, where it says, set your hope fully on grace. Set your hope, your confident expectation that you will be holy. It's interesting. There is a quote in the Old Testament, and it's often missed, where God says, you shall be holy because I'm holy. And it's easy to mistranslate that as to say, you better be holy because I am, but it's not a threat. It's a promise. He said, if you're mine, you are going to be holy because I am. I'll see to it. It's very closely akin to the thing where Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Done deal. If you love me, you will wind up keeping my commandments because I'll help you. Because I'm there for that purpose. Isn't that comforting? Boy, I'd love to keep going because there's another long string of imperatives there that are important to look at. We're not in a hurry. And there is a lot of stuff in there. If I could just close with this admonition. It is frightening to me how distracted I see Christians today all around me. Of any time in history, that we should be clear-minded and unencumbered. It should be now. There are perilous times that we live in. So take a good whiff and see if you smell any brimstone around your life. If you can see anybody's smutty little hands in there trying to get you muddy-headed and encumbered with cares and shake yourself loose. Ask him to help you. Be vigilant. Be clear-minded. Good advice, Peter. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for shaking me out of lethargy many times in my life. Thank you for reminding me again this week of Jacob's bicycle. Thank you for reminding me that what I have waiting for me is not something I could ever deserve. Thank you for telling me that story when it was very obvious that the blessing was not deserved. So we set our hope fully, Lord. We are resting our full weight for our now and our hopes for the future upon the fact that you are gracious and merciful. Help us, Lord, to be becoming constantly more and more your people. Like we sang, fill my life, overflow every part of me, let all that is not of you be washed away. That's our prayer. Thank you for your word, Lord. I pray that it would have power in the lives of everyone that hears it. In Jesus' name, amen.